educators across the country widely believe that the effectiveness of a teacher is one of the most important factors in a student's individual achievement. All this week on WBUR, we're exploring what makes a great educator in a series we're calling Making an A-Plus Teacher. Today we look at how the state figures out which teachers are great. For decades, schools have been failing to evaluate teachers consistently or effectively. That, according to the state's own education commissioner, Mitchell Chester.
At its worst, it's neglected. We know that a lot of teachers report that they're rarely evaluated. They may go years without being evaluated.
Commissioner Chester and others hope to change that over the next 3 years as the state implements a new evaluation system, a system that's required in order for the state to qualify for federal education money known as Race to the Top. There's a public hearing on the proposals later this morning at a meeting of the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education. As WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerov reports today, the most controversial element of the proposed new system is a requirement to use student test scores to rate teachers.
For decades, teachers have been evaluated primarily on how they run their classroom. Allison Corshane's room is set up in a horseshoe of desks, and she's standing as the kids arrive.
Bring your writing folders.
She runs her 12th grade literature class at Framingham High School more like a college seminar, asking students to call on each other when they're finished speaking. I've asked Jason Williams of Stand for Children, an education policy advocacy group, to come with me to Allison's class to evaluate her teaching using the new standards proposed by the state.
Usually when you walk into a classroom, within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you can already get a sense of whether or not there's great learning happening.
That's one of the four new criteria on a checklist teachers will be judged on, curriculum and instruction. And Allison gets a check in that box, says Williams. Speaking to me at the back of the classroom, he says Allison also gets a check in the box for teaching all students.
As the students were arriving in the classroom, she, you know, wasn't just static. She was spending time greeting them, interacting with them, you know, making it clear that she's, you know, an active participant in their learning and really cares about them.
Allison will also be judged on how well she engages with the students' families. Check. She emails frequently with them. Does she contribute to the after-school culture and professional growth? Check and check. She started a poetry slam, attends basketball games, and organized a weekly after-school staff yoga class. High marks all around. All of these factors make up about half of her performance review in the future. The other half? A controversial criteria. Are her students learning? Allison says she's confident her teaching ability will be reflected in her students' tests, but she doesn't want to be solely evaluated on that.
I want a kid to walk out not just with knowledge of grammar, but also with self-confidence and to feel like they've had a good day and all of these other intangibles that aren't something that are measured by a test.
But how much a student learns in Allison's class will be a major part of her evaluation, says Education Commissioner Chester.
Student learning becomes central. You need to look at various sources of student learning, not only one source. Where we have MCAS scores as one of those sources, they have to be used, but they can't be used as the sole source.
In fact, less than 1 in 5 teachers are in a grade and subject that gives MCAS. There are other problems with only using the MCAS to rate teachers. It's only given once a year, so doesn't measure student growth. Teachers don't get the scores until months later. Paul Toner, head of the largest teachers union, the Massachusetts Teachers Association, says teachers agree student learning should count in their evaluations.
What they don't want is a one-shot standardized test score being determinative of their entire career. You know, if you've got kids who've had came to school hungry, came to school tired, and their entire career is going to ride on a test score, absolutely not.
Hillary Shea, a fifth grade teacher at Mason Pilot Elementary School in Boston, has seen students fail tests because of what's going on at home.
I've had the kid who's come in and, you know what, his dad decided to move out that night before and he bombed the test and he was a proficient reader. And like, is that an accurate reflection of my teaching or that kid's ability? No.
But how do you show learning? The state says you need to use multiple measures. These could be reading comprehension tests developed by each school or district, or pop quizzes in math that show a student is learning multiplication. There's a lot about the new evaluation system that's left to be decided by each school district, because teachers have the right to negotiate what their evaluation checklist will be. And this is worrisome, says Tom Scott. He's head of the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents, and he recently spoke before the State Board of Education.
I'll give you one message that every superintendent I talk to will speak to, and that is, do not leave all of this into the collective bargaining process, because this is going to get watered down in a way that we're not going to have any consistency across the state.
The Board of Ed is likely to hear more concerns about the proposed evaluation system today at a hearing and is expected to adopt the new evaluation system at the beginning of June. Back in Allison Corshane's classroom, she worries her future evaluations, which will focus on tests, still may not capture what makes a teacher really great.
How can you put a number on how much you love the kids?
There is no box to check for that on the state's new evaluation form. For WBUR, I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov.